Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high hopes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another broadcast of Keeping It Real with Frankie D from the John DeVita Broadcast Center on the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network and Jack FM 89.7 WRHS 89.7 Norridge, Illinois. Today's subject will be about the Italian culture. And now, here he is, live and in person, Frankie D.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D. Thank you, John. Today's show, very exciting. It's our first, I guess you would call it, national interview. We have Bob Masullo on the line, and I have Bill D'Alcero here in the studio, and we are going to discuss...
Hello.
Bill, welcome to the show, and Bob, and we are going to discuss...
Hi, Frank.
A.P. Giannini, Amadeo Pietro Giannini, an extremely important man, an extremely important subject. Bob, thank you so much for being here from California. And
it's my pleasure.
Let's get started. Tell us about the beginning of this man, his birth, what kind of family he was born into, where he was from, and the whole nine yards.
Well, I got interested in A.P. Giannini because he is a Californian. He was actually born in California in San Jose in 1870, and I think that's kind of remarkable in and of itself because there were very few Italians in the whole of the United States in 1870, as you know.
That's very true, yes.
The big wave of Italian immigrants didn't start until 1880. And here was Giannini, born 10 years before that in the United States. His father was a Genovese who came to California in the wake of the discovery of gold here in 1848. And, you know, yeah, I guess like people from all over the world, he thought he was going to become rich because gold was flowing in the streams of California. However, like most people that came here for the gold, he didn't find any. And he drifted into running a boarding house and some small farming in the San Jose area. And San Jose at that time, today it's a big city, but back then it was really just a farm community. And everything they raised, they used to ship up to San Francisco, I think that's about 50 miles away, and it would go the produce would go mostly by boat. And his son, A.P., got into the produce business. He would gather the stuff that his father, or later his stepfather, and other farmers in the San Jose area would grow, and he'd ship it up to San Francisco and be in charge of selling it to the various vendors there. He
now,
became very wealthy. By the time he was 30 years old, he decided to retire.
AP did?
Yeah, and then he got married. He was considered a very eligible bachelor because he was tall and handsome, and he was very well known throughout the Italian community in San Francisco.
Bob, I was going to ask you, did he have much education himself?
He had a high school education and then a very short business college education, I think about 6 months.
Okay, that was kind of significant, though. I mean, at the time.
At the time, it was pretty good. I mean, it was more than most people had at that time.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he seemed like, he was an intelligent man. He was a hardworking man. He was somebody who was going to succeed.
Right, yeah. And anyway, after, you know, he became fairly wealthy from the produce business, being a merchant, and he decided he had enough of that when he was 30 years old. He quit, and he married this woman whose father was on the board of directors of a bank in San Francisco. And when the father died, Giannini himself inherited that seat on the board of directors of this savings bank in the in North Beach, which is the Little Italy of San Francisco. And that bank, even though it did deal with Italians, it was like most banks at the time. And in those days, banks only wanted to deal with wealthy people and businesses of significance. They didn't care about the small saving. They didn't care about checking accounts, things like that. They felt there was not much profit in that, and they just didn't want to deal with those kind of people. So Giannini thought that was terrible. He thought that small business people, the small average guy, was the backbone of society. And most of the Italian immigrants in San Francisco, as everywhere else in the United States, fit into that category. You know, we were not, by and large, rich people. And he had a falling out with the board of directors of that bank, and he said, well, I'm going to start my own bank. And in 1904, he started the bank that was at that time called the Bank of Italy. It was in North Beach, and it was meant originally just to serve the Italian immigrants.
Oh, so the bank was basically just for the Italian immigrants. I mean, that's what the main purpose
was.
Yes,
and for the for the
regular average people,
person,
the
not
average
for
person.
The businesses.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did he have success with that bank? With that
The bank became
philosophy?
A phenomenal success. It became very fast. It spread all over California, and in 1930. The name was changed from the Bank of Italy to the Bank of America.
Oh, due to just becoming so popular with everyone, correct?
Well, it was the result of various mergers and acquisitions. He had gotten branch banking all over California. He wanted to do it nationally, but the laws prevented him from doing that at that time.
And at that time, did branch banking exist, or was he kind of one
branch
of the first
banking
ones?
Branch banking had been tried several times, and it always failed in the United States. It had been tried in Canada with considerably more success, and I think Giannini thought the Canadian experience was a good example, and he tried to copy that here, and he was the first American to successfully implement branch banking. You know, and that was very important because before that, almost all banks had just one office. It usually was in the financial district of the biggest city of the state.
Wow, that's pretty significant then.
And yeah, you know, in a big state like California, an agricultural state, can you imagine if you're living 500 or 600 miles away
sure.
from San Francisco, which is entirely possible in California?
Sure.
To have to come to San Francisco if you wanted to get a loan or if you wanted to do any kind of banking business.
And back to when you said, okay, he was looking for the average person as to be a customer. And how did he help the average person? Was it by giving loans, perhaps, that they normally were not able to get at big banks? Or
yes. I don't know whether this is absolutely true or not. It may be apocryphal, but one of the stories they tell about him was that he would judge a man by the way his hand looked. He'd shake a guy's hand. If the guy had a calloused hand, he felt that he was an honest worker, and he would give him a loan.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Okay. Wow.
And anyway, so the Bank of Italy started in 1904.
Okay.
You know what happened 2 years later, 1906?
No, I don't. Tell me, Bob.
Okay. Well, one of the major events in American history, the big earthquake in San Francisco completely destroyed San Francisco. Well, not the earthquake itself, but the fires that came about after the earthquake. The city was leveled, you know, and this was at that time San Francisco was the biggest city on the West Coast. And it was completely leveled. It looked like Berlin at the end of World War II.
Wow.
And the other banks in San Francisco had taken their money and put it in their safes and locked it up. And because the fires were burning all over the place, they couldn't open these safes up because if they did, all of the money would just burst into flames. So they wanted to wait for a long time for the safes to cool off. But Giannini, he and some of his workers had taken all the money from the Bank of Italy the moment the earthquake happened, and he put them on a cart. They covered it up with vegetables, and he drove it down to San Mateo, where he lived, and he put all of the bank's savings in a hiding place in his house in San Mateo.
That's
amazing. 2 days later, he went back to San Francisco, set up a table on the wharf. It was just a board over two barrels. And he said, we're going to rebuild this city, and he started making loans. The other banks were still all locked up, and they...
Wow, that is
amazing.
They didn't
give any money, so that was the beginning of the Bank of Italy's really big success.
Bill, can you imagine? He was driving a truck with vegetables on it.
Well, the vegetables were, you know, to prevent anybody from stealing.
Right, no,
they
sure.
had seen money and gold on a wagon.
Right. That was ingenious.
That would have been robbed. So he was very clever in covering it up with fruits and vegetables. Nobody suspected it of being anything important. And he just drove it to San Mateo, about 30 miles away. And there it was safe from the fires.
Wow. That's amazing. That is very, very, very interesting.
Yeah. So. In 1930, it became the Bank of America, and I think it was 1947, I may be off on the date, it became the largest bank in the world. Yeah, 1947.
1947, the largest bank in the world. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Now, a little bit of word of caution. The current Bank of America is not Giannini's bank.
Right, no,
the bank has had many mergers and changes over the years, and a sad thing from an Italian standpoint, when he founded the bank, every one of the members of the board of directors was Italian or Italian-American.
Is that right?
Today,
wow.
Zero members of the board of directors are.
Wow.
And I tried to find out about this. I called and wrote to the current leadership of the Bank of America. They never responded, so I have no idea why they have. You know, they like to brag about their diversity, and they have people of many different backgrounds, but not one of them is Italian.
That's unfortunate.
Which is a shame, because Giannini founded this bank as the Bank of Italy.
Yes, exactly. Well, tell us about some of the other major things he did when he was the head of this bank.
Well, a lot of the innovation, you know, they're all banking innovations, but what they accomplished for the United States, I think, is probably the biggest contribution that any one individual Italian-American has made to the United States. He started individual banking accounts. He started the branch banking. He helped San Francisco get rebuilt. And one of the more interesting things was that he was one of the early financiers of Hollywood. Hollywood would have never gotten off the ground if it wasn't for loans from the Bank of Italy and then later the Bank of America.
And then later the Bank of America. Wow.
In the 1930s, a lot of the big movie companies were going under. You know, it was the Depression, and they were suffering like all other businesses. But Giannini authorized the $3 million loan to Daryl Zanuck and Joseph Schenick to form 20th Century Fox. This is in the middle of the Depression. And
wow, that's amazing when you think of those numbers. $3
million. Because of loans that he approved, many of the classic movies were made. They would not have been made, including movies like Gone with the Wind. That had run completely over budget. It was halfway done, and they had no more money. Giannini authorized a $1.5 million loan to David Selznick in 1935, and that's how Gone with the Wind got made.
Wow. So, Bill, like $3 million in 1935 would be What are we talking about today?
Oh, I don't know what the equivalent would be, but it's many, many times that amount.
I'm thinking it would be possibly like upwards of 60, 70, 80 million dollars.
He also financed the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge. The state had approved a $30 million bond issue to build the bridge in 1930, but, you know, that's when the Depression first hit, and nobody was buying the bonds. And Giannini said, well, this bridge is very important. He said, the state of California will probably never recover if we don't have this bridge. He had the bank buy up all of the bonds for the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow. Wow, he was an extremely important man for California, you know, specifically.
Well, more than California. You know, the amazing thing was that he was able to do this in California. Almost all of the banking interests were in New York on Wall Street, you know, and he was able to compete with and beat people like J.P. Morgan from 3,000 miles away.
Wow, very interesting, yes, because J.P. Morgan is a name that is probably much more known by
the American public.
Yes.
Yeah. Incidentally, let me say hello to Bill. He's my
Ciao,
friend.
Roberto. Come
on. Edgewise. So, how are you doing, Bill?
How are you, sir? I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm okay. How's the weather in Chicago?
It's getting very hot. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the fires of the earthquake back in 1906. Hey, if I just want to interject on that, I also teach at a local high school, and I teach a film study course. And last year, as part of the film history course we were teaching, they had a tape that I showed of all these little 10-minute films that Thomas Edison's crew filmed throughout the United States. They called them actuality films. This is before Nickelodeons and regular movies. And there's a 2 minutes worth of footage of the actual carnage after the 1906 earthquake. There were cameras around, and people actually went out for Thomas Edison on the West Coast and filmed San Francisco. And as you described it, it's very accurate. It looked like Berlin after the bombings. It just was totally leveled. You see the fires. And to sit there and contemplate that one man, A.P. Giannini, helped rebuild this entire city into what it was is just staggering when you think about it. And then also to bring about the movies, too, I also show Steamboat Willie, which is Walt Disney's first full-length feature film.
Yeah,
it's like 12 minutes long. But
punch. I was going to say, talk about that. But
yeah.
Yeah, the Steamboat Willie, that's the cartoon feature that introduced Mickey Mouse to the world. That was financed by the Bank of Italy.
And by extension, he created the Walt Disney industry, if you want to look at it,
very
by helping out Walt Disney
he
himself.
He loaned Disney money many times, including financing Snow White, which was the first full-length animated feature.
Correct.
That film is another one that would not have existed.
By the way, trivia,
A.P. Giannini.
Trivia, I'm sure you know this, but to the listeners out there, does anyone know who provided the voice for Snow White in the movie?
You know, Bill, you've told me this once before, but the name eludes me. I know it's an
Italian girl. Yeah, Adriana Casalotti. She was the voice of Snow White
Very
in the cartoon.
Good.
Very interesting fact, yes.
Was she from Chicago?
I don't know, but it's a great trivia question at your next cocktail party. Like, who was the greatest American banker of all time? Now we can tell people.
Yeah, I would say he's the greatest banker. That I think that's generally agreed upon in banking circles, although, unfortunately, he's kind of forgotten in the history books, and that's really a shame. You know, I interviewed his 82-year-old granddaughter a couple of years ago. Her name is Virginia Hammerness. I want to quote something that she told me, if I can find it here. Oh, she said, I'm not finding it.
I have one quote from her. I did pull a quote from her, too. I remember this article.
Well, the quote that I'm looking for is she bemoaned the fact that he is not remembered very well in the history books today. And she said that to a lot of people, he was just that Dago banker from California.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She had a quote about the people who are currently running Bank of America, too. It says that the people who are running Bank of America now are, quote, a bunch of idiots.
Exactly.
She's pretty feisty
about
that.
That was how I first got onto this story, Bill. I had read something in one of the San Francisco papers quoting Virginia Hammerness, the granddaughter, saying just that, what you had said, that she thought the current people are idiots.
Yeah, they were so dishonest and so the polar opposite of her grandfather.
And I followed that up by writing to her, and it took me a long time to get an interview, but then she was very forthcoming when I did interview her.
Now, some of the other industries that he touched in California especially was, I believe, the wine industry, agriculture.
The wine industry, the aerospace industry, and the automobile industry to some extent.
Now, is it true that he helped the Fiat factories after the war in Italy?
At the end of World War II, yeah, he provided the loans for Fiat to get reestablished. The big Italian car, you know, Italy's answer to General Motors.
Right, right. And there was another one I think you wrote about.
Was it Hewlett-Packard too, Bob? I think I read that somewhere.
Yes, he provided loans for the two partners that started Hewlett-Packard. That's right.
So wow, amazing.
That's another major industry in California that would not have existed if it wasn't for him.
Wow. A rare one percenter. What is? Tell us about that.
That's another thing. You know, he had the ability, because of the success of the bank, to make himself extremely wealthy. He could have bought and sold Donald Trump several times over if he wanted to, but he never wanted much money personally. Most of the time he worked for nothing at the bank, or he took a very modest salary. And when he died in 1949, I believe it was, his total net worth was less than $500,000.
Wow.
That seems impossible for the position that he had. And just when you think about the amount of money he was loaning out, that's such a small amount.
Well, it's the famous quote, I think, right? You don't own a fortune, it owns you. I think I read he said that once.
Yeah, the actual wording on that was, no man actually owns a fortune, it owns him.
Correct.
Yeah, let me quote a couple of other things from Giannini. Incidentally, if you go online and just type in Giannini quotes, you'll get hundreds of the different pithy sayings that Giannini was famous for when he was in his heyday. This is one of the ones I think is most indicative of him as a human being. He says, "I believe in using money to help worthy causes while one is still living, and thus get some fun out of it. Of course, it is every man's duty to strive to give his children the best possible equipment for life, but to leave millions to young sons is dangerous. Each of us is better for having to make our own way in the world. God meant us to work. Those who don't work never amount to anything. To take from anyone the incentive to work is a questionable service."
Giannini for president.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you can't.
Or Giannini for Father of the Year, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, it seems like we kind of do the opposite nowadays. And
especially in the banking industry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think he must be rolling over many times when he sees what's going on in banking today, and even in the Bank of America,
Bob,
maybe especially in the Bank of America.
Do you think that that's perhaps, I'm just speculating here, you know, he's not that well known. Do you think it was because this way of thinking, his philosophy, albeit that it was so good and moral and was what stood for good, but it was almost like just so opposite of everyone. Like it was almost borderline freakish.
I think you know, there was a change after, it's hard to put a date on it, but let's say sometime around 1960. There was, up until then, there was this, among most wealthy people, there was this kind of noblesse oblige idea that you should do something for the community. You should do something for the world. If you had great wealth, you had great responsibility. But around that time, it kind of changed, and avarice took over, and these people just wanted to make money any which way possible, and the more they made, the better. at least to their own way of thinking. And Giannini was just the opposite of that. So, you know, he fell out of favor. There were quite a few books written about Giannini up until about 1950. And since that time, hardly anything has been written about him.
That's a shame.
He should be the subject of a feature film, don't you agree? He would make a great subject for a movie?
Absolutely, yeah. There were two films that were made a long time ago. One was called American Madness, way back in 1932, and another one called House of Strangers in 1949, that had some connection with him. But he was never named, and they were not historically accurate. Matter of fact, House of Strangers was really very offensive. It depicted an Italian banker as being very crooked and very dysfunctional.
Mm.
So the only connection with Giannini was that they were both Italian. And actually, the banker in House of Strangers was a native Italian. Giannini was an Italian-American.
American-born, yeah.
Yep.
Wow, that's
a
shame.
It's a shame that an accurate movie hasn't been made about him, because his life is just... there's so many dramatic possibilities in connection with his life, and that he was a great man, and that he did so much for banking and for the country. There should have been a movie about him. There should still be a movie.
And you know what? More specifically, maybe we our own people are to blame, because we should be promoting this man, because he did so much for Italians, for Italian Americans. He was a hero figure
for Americans. Period.
I mean, right, but I mean initially with
the community, yes.
Right, with the average person and helping the Italians, and I mean it's just an outright shame, and for the thought that today and today's children and certainly their children are never going to know who this is a crime.
Hey, Bob, is there some kind of a landmark or any kind of historical marker denoting his achievement in America?
There are a few. There's a school an elementary school in San Francisco that's named for him.
Oh, there is? Oh,
and,
that's nice.
And the building that was the first major structure of the Bank of Italy has a historic marker on the outside saying that this is where
the Bank of Italy started.
Where the Bank of America started. Yeah. And
okay.
That's true. There's also an A.P. Giannini Foundation that gives money for scholarships for people that are interested in banking careers.
Is that run by any family members still?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because the granddaughter that you interviewed, was that quite some time ago? Or
that was about a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. Well, you know, like I say, it's...
And she was in her mid-80s.
Oh.
I'm not even sure if she's still around, but she was the last living connection that we had with Giannini. I want to say something about him as a family man. His granddaughter told me this story. There was this in San Mateo where they lived. There was this hilly road that went up a mountainside, and Giannini had this incredible car. It was a 1933 Lincoln that he had specially equipped. It had a bank vault in it, and it had a siren and a red light on it. He had gotten special permission from the governor to have this. And he used it to take money from one branch to another, driving all over the state. But on Sundays, he would take his two granddaughters in the car, and they'd ride up this hilly mountainous road. And one of the granddaughters was allowed to do the siren going up the hill, and when they'd get to the top of the hill, they'd change places, and the other granddaughter would do the siren going down the hill.
He was a fair man.
Yeah, and she said that he loved playing with the kids, and that he loved going to movies with them. He especially loved Abbott and Costello movies.
Wow.
And she said that he would laugh like crazy when they were watching them.
So, you know, I put the question to you, Bob and Bill, where would you rank, in a sense, A.P. Giannini as far as great Italian Americans?
I would put him at number one.
You put him in.
I would agree with that. I also would put him among number one. We all the great captains of industry. We always talk about the people from the turn of the century, Carnegie and Steele and Vanderbilt and famous families. He should be mentioned with those people.
With all of them.
He should be in the same breath.
And better than most of them.
More honest, for sure. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a shame in itself, because if you both say he would be the number one great Italian American, and the average Italian American probably never heard of him, that's a shame.
Yeah.
The average person, Italian or not, has not heard of him. That is really a shame.
Well, maybe we could try to do something
this is
about
a start,
that.
Well, this I wrote this article. You're doing this radio program, Frank.
There you go.
We're doing our part.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Bob, I want to thank
maybe
you.
Bill's already got one movie to his credit, I think.
Well, then that's the guy we got to look to. He's the one with the experience.
Only if Bob does the script. Then okay. I'll agree to it.
We could work on that together.
Okay.
That would be a good idea.
Sounds great. Bob, thank you so much for doing the show. I really appreciate it. It was a subject that I wanted to cover, and you were the guy to do it, so thank you.
Hey, Frank, you ever get out to Sacramento, I'll give you the grand tour.
That sounds great. Thank you. I will definitely try to do that.
Good to talk to you, Roberto.
Next time I'm in Chicago, I'll check you out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we always do, we end the show with the quote of the show. And obviously, I have to say another quote from A.B. Giannini today. So I'm going to pick one that Bob didn't say, and it goes like this. We consider this wage earner or small businessman who deposits his savings regularly, no matter how small the amount may be, to be the most valuable client our bank can have. He was definitely a man of the people. Indeed. So with that, thank you, John. WRHS, it was a great show. And everyone out there, let's not forget A.P. Giannini, Amadeo Pietro Giannini. Have a great day.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you,
Frank.
Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. So look around.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high.
You have been listening to Keeping It Real with Frankie D and guests from the John DeVita Broadcast Center on Jack FM 89.7, WRHS FM Norwich, and the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network. This broadcast was directed by John DeVita. And a special thanks to radio station manager Kevin Zeflik of WRHS-FM Norwich and the executive producer of Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network, Mr. John Secondo. This broadcast was pre-recorded on Monday, July the 27th, the year of our Lord, 2015. Until next time, please be safe and thanks for listening.
Punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes.
And this is Jack FM 89.7 WRHS FM, Norwich, Illinois.